Okay, thank you, Father. Thank you for your eternal word. We are so glad when we can always tell someone, have you read the great news? Have you read it? Do you know it? Father, in the name of Yeshua, we ask your help for Israel, for the people that are healing from these traumatic experiences in the tunnels, and you will lead them to your knowledge that heals and saves. We pray for peace, not false peace, but true peace, peace of our Lord and Messiah. We pray for persecuted believers, Nigeria, especially North Korea, all places in Africa, many pressures in the Middle East countries generally, including Morocco, many, many heavy pressures. Sometimes it's persecution, sometimes it's just harassment, sometimes it's really physical persecution. Thank you, Lord, that you do bless your people. We need your Holy Spirit to help us. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, dear Lord, in your precious name. Amen. I need my second Bible, so just one moment. Yes, one moment. We are going to be looking at this amazing time when the Father said about Yeshua the second time that this is my beloved Son. First time he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That was in the lowest part of the earth. That was by the Dead Sea, yes. In the area where Israelites crossed over. So God already said in the Tanakh, he said, Israel is my son, Ephraim is my firstborn. So the sons of Israel, that were sons of Israel in two ways. By creation, children of God by creation. Children of God by covenant, but not by new birth. This is not the same as eternal salvation. But Israelites had a covenant, and the covenant people came into the land, and God said in the time of Jeremiah, the prophet, Israel is my son. Israel is my son. Yes, but look the difference. Look at the difference. When Yeshua came, God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. The one who succeeded, the one did not sin. Everyone in Israel has sinned, and everyone even in America has sinned, and even in every land has sinned, but not the Messiah. Okay, so here he said that this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Because he was at the end of the line of the sinners. Sinners were going to be immersed by Yohanan, by John the Baptist. So he was in the line of sinners. Everybody thought Yeshua is a sinner when he walked in this line. But the Father interrupted. No, this is not a sinner. This is my beloved son. He's not only guiltless, but in him I am well, very well pleased. Are you pleased with Yeshua the Messiah today? Have you found your pleasure in him? Have you found that if you lost everything, you got still everything? Because Yeshua is more than everything. Very good. But then that voice came, by the way, from heaven. Yeshua is there coming from the water. And then the dove is on top of Yeshua's head. The dove, I mean Holy Spirit, as a dove, dove-like. descended, that's the Holy Spirit, and the voice came from heaven. But when on the mountain and transfiguration, there's something different. There the voice is not coming from heaven. The Father's voice comes in a cloud. And then he says, this is my beloved son. It's not a sharp rebuke. People have thought it's a sharp rebuke. It is in a way a rebuke, but it's not a sharp rebuke. We'll go into it. Now remember, before we read that, we have to read Hebrews, the wonderful book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. And Yeshua the Messiah is the brightness of His glory. Brightness of His glory. When they were on the mountain in Matthew 17, and we're going to go into that soon. When they were on the mountain, they saw Yeshua's face shining like the sun. And His garments were white, whiter than any white. Yes. So because He is the brightness of His glory. So God showed the three men, Shimon Kepha, who's Peter, Yohanan, and Yaakov. God showed these three disciples the real thing, who really is Yeshua. He was like veiled all the time. Okay. He's the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Exactly as His person. Okay. What did He say in John 14, Yohanan 14? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. There's no difference here. I am exactly like the Father. Yes, there's the Father and there's me, but I'm exactly like the Father because I'm one with the Father. Okay, then. Upholding all things by the word of His power. And then He purged our sins and sat down. By the way, just like Yeshua can say, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. When we meet the Holy Spirit, we meet Yeshua. He is called another comforter or paracleta. But I'm not going to that topic now. Yeshua is called another comforter, another one who removes the curse. So it means He's exactly, Holy Spirit is exactly like Yeshua, because Holy Spirit brings Yeshua to us. And now we can look at this thing in reality. Billy Graham's daughter, who is the Holy Spirit to you? And Billy Graham's daughter said, Holy Spirit to me is the one who brings the presence of Yeshua. He is the presence of Yeshua so that I can experience Yeshua. I'm saying it exactly like she said, but with my own words. Holy Spirit comports the presence of the Messiah to me, that I have him here with me right now. And then Psalm 90, and this is very beautiful. Moshe didn't write many psalms, but what he wrote is very, very beautiful. And in verse 1 he says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place. You have been our dwelling place, like Ma'on in Hebrew. It's like where we live, like a tent or dwelling place in all generations. So Moses knew the tabernacle, and Moses had his own tent to sleep in, but he would not consider that to be his tent. He said, Lord, you've been our tabernacle in all our generations. Our generation received the tabernacle. We've been carrying the tabernacle, but you've been our tabernacle in all generations. All generations. Psalm 90, verse 1. Now we're going to Matthew chapter 17. Chapter 17. This is a very powerful and very huge topic, and it's also in the book of Mark and in the book of Luke, but I'm both basically going to go, if the Lord wills, to Matthew chapter 17. So Lord, please open your word to us as we read it. Now the Lord has been already working. This is already his third year. And his maslul, as we say, his pathway on the earth is not so long anymore. And now he's taken, before he is going to his last events, he's taken his three disciples, his three witnesses, to a very special mountain. You know, in one way, every mountain, if Yeshua is glorified in it, is the highest mountain in one way. Wherever we are with Yeshua, that's the high point. I don't care what happens. Verse 1, after 6 days, Yeshua taketh Peter, James, and John, Shimon, Kepha, Yaakov, and Yohanan, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain apart, alone, into a high mountain. I personally feel that it's in North Israel, not necessarily the mount called Tabor, I'm not sure, of course, but I feel that it's the higher mountains, way up in the very high mountains. Actually, if it is the Mount Hermon, there would be a very powerful lesson here. If it is the Mount Hermon, like many people believe it's Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon has a tradition. You know what the tradition is? That the fallen angels fell down. The fallen angels fell down on Mount Hermon. And they came to the world on Mount Hermon. And I personally think that there seems to be a lot of basis for that. So when Yeshua is glorified in Mount Hermon, that means the evil has no chance to win over him. The one who humbled himself in the Dead Sea Valley is shown to be who he is on Mount Hermon. But if Mount Hermon is, by the way, if it is the place where the fallen angels came down, and it seems to be the case, then remember, it is not then so amazing that the disciples fell asleep. They fell asleep when they could have been listening to the most amazing discussion that happened between Yeshua, Moshe, and Eliyah. I would love to have this discussion in my Bible. I'm wondering, what were they saying? We will never know because they fell asleep. You know, this puts amazing feeling, I mean, this stirs a feeling in my heart. It's good to sleep, it's good to rest, but if I fall asleep in the wrong time, and I don't pray, some people may not know things about God because I fall asleep. I'm not saying, my friends, that we should not sleep and be healthy, but we must not be sleepy in our hearts. The Lord forgive us when we are sleepy. Okay, so verse 2. And he was transfigured. In Hebrew, I mean in Aramaic, and I say it again, that many people do not know this Asimani manuscript, which is the oldest known gospel. All the four gospels were in Aramaic. It's recorded in the oldest, largest library in the world. It's recorded. And it's going to come to common knowledge. Okay. But in the point is I'm making, the Aramaic text there says, he was transfigured, which means ishtahlaf, it means he was exchanged, just like you exchange something. The form that in which he was known, he looked so different that unless you really knew who he was like another person. And by the way, by the renewing of the mind, we are also being exchanged. Like it says in Romans 12, it's the same thing. When we look to Yeshua, the image of Yeshua, the picture of Yeshua that the Holy Spirit transmits to us is so powerful that we become different. We forget our carnal thoughts and we begin to think like Him, feel like Him. We are being changed because the power of the cross is there and new life is there. So Yeshua was changed as exchanged, transfigured, actually, transfigured kind of means the same or similar thing. Transfigured means changed before them. And how were they changed? His face did shine as the sun. So, as the sun, like the sun, that's the expression there. So his face began shining. Okay. And his raiment was white as snow. So suddenly, light began to emanate, to reflect, to shine out, flow out of his face. Out of his face. Okay. Remember in Aramaic, the word light and the word river, Nuhara. Nuhara. It's the same word, river and flight. Because light can be like a flowing, as a river flows. Light also can be particles. We understand that from science. But his face became flowing. And you remember what it says in Psalms? It talks about shining of his face. Psalm 30. I believe it's Psalm 36. 1 second, if I find it. They looked unto him. Yeah, it says they looked unto him and were enlightened. But it literally says they looked unto him and became flowing. It can be both. Their faces looked unto him. They looked unto him and became radiant, became flowing as light. Let's go back to Matthew 17. His face did shine as the sun. Now, I know Isaiah 53 says that his face was marred more, like more ugly, marred as more marked than any other face. That is the suffering face of the Son of God. That is very difficult to look at him, his suffering. But even his sufferings are beautiful. He's beautiful even his sufferings. But here, when his face shone and he's not bruised and beaten and bloody, how beautiful is his face. Yeshua's face is so beautiful. And another light comes, the light of the Father. And his raiment was white as the light. And Luke adds, by the way, that his face was white and glistening. Glistening. And Mark 9 verse 3 says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. So as no fuller on earth can white them. So white. No one can make such a white garment. Sometime when you see like men wear white shirts, you know, or the bride wears a white gown, very white. How beautiful it is. How beautiful it is. But Yeshua's garment was even more white. Yes. And then verse 3. And behold, there appeared to them Moshe and Eliyah talking with them. It's very mysterious how it says, there appeared to them Moshe and Eliyah. There appeared to them Moshe and Eliyah. It doesn't even say that Moshe and Eliyah came, because they are in the other world. They are in the world of the Spirit. They are in the world of God. And there, things appear, come, go, appear. It's not even like traveling in our sense, coming and going. Just appear. And they were amazed. But we have to see in Luca, in the Gospel of Luke, where the doctor, Dr. Luke gets into the business. When doctor gets into the business and writes a gospel, the doctor investigates. He writes details that others don't. And the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who also wrote the Bible, he wrote it through this doctor, Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke says in chapter 9, verse 30, and behold, look, there talked with him two men, which were Moshe and Eliyah. These are very important men. In one way, most important men in the first part of the Bible. In one way. I know it's difficult to say who is more important, but in one way. Who appeared in glory. They appeared in glory. They appeared. But they appeared in glory. My friends, the Bible says that today we are wearing the body of humiliation. This body has wrinkles. This body has pains. And every year our limbs are getting a little more stiff and all this stuff. This is called the body of humiliation. But one day, we are going to also appear in glory like these two men, Moshe and Eliyah. We're destined to another body. So when you have pains, when you have moments that you're tempted to be cranky or whatever, you have moments, remember, you're headed for another body. We are headed, and this is not going to be long. We're going to have another body. So appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus. In English, it's about his decease, but it's more better to say about his going away. Remember, Yeshua, when he prayed to the Father in John 17, Yohanan 17, he said, Father, my Father, I'm coming to you. I'm coming. It's not like, he's not talking about death. He's talking about coming, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. We are in the city of Exodus. Exodus happened here. Not Exodus of the Exodus, but Yeshua's Exodus happened here. He left from here, and when he comes, he's coming to Jerusalem. He's not coming to New York. He's not coming to Tokyo. He's not coming to Stockholm. He's coming to Jerusalem. This is the city of his Exodus. This is the city of his return. And Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. This is very amazing. This is, I'm now in Luke 9, verse 32. Okay, remember, my friends, this is supernatural. It's natural, but also supernatural. We can say that they walked up to the high mountain, they got tired, yes. But when you are watching something like this, how are you going to sleep? It wasn't from sadness like in the garden. It could have been from sadness because they were talking about Yeshua going away. It could have been from sadness and tiredness. But I think there's a third reason. That the mountain was the mountain where the fallen angels came down. And there's a special power of the fallen angels. So sometimes when we go to dark places, maybe we have to live in a very dark situation. Maybe we have to be in a dark place where it seems that there's a lot of power from the evil one. Remember, that is a place where Yeshua will show his face. Where Yeshua will show, I have the power. I am the Son of the Father. I have the glory. And I am the light. Yes, yes, yes. And when they were awake, they were heavy with sleep. So they were heavy with sleep. And that's why we don't know. No one could write down what they were talking. I would love to know what they were talking. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. They saw his glory. That's the shining of Yeshua and the two men that stood with him. Now we are going back to Matthew 17. We're going back to Matthew 17. And then verse 4. Then said Simon Kepha, Peter, said to us, Yeshua, Lord, said to Yeshua, he said, Marie, my Lord, my Lord, it is good for us to be here. Oh, yes, it's good for us to be here. We like to be in a glorious place. Oh, it's good, it's good. If thou wilt, if it's your will, let us make here three tabernacles. Yeah, in a way, it's an innocent prayer. Yeshua said, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Yes, he said, if it's your will, yes, yes. But it was his idea, of course, not Yeshua's. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. Notice the word tabernacle. One for thee, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyah. So, let us have tabernacles. How did the Jews understood the tabernacles in ancient times? They knew there's a yearly tabernacles. But the Jews, rabbis, they looked at the 1,000-year reign of the Messiah, that the whole thing is a tabernacles. That the 1,000 years is like the whole thing is Shabbat, and the whole thing is tabernacles. So now that the glory appeared, what comes in Shimon Kepha's mind? Okay, he's the king. He is the king. And he's ready for tabernacles without the Passover sacrifice. He's ready for the reigning without the lamb. Oh, he didn't understand that. He didn't understand it. How many times could we be ready for something, but the lamb is not there yet? The lamb is not brought into the picture. We want to reign, we want to take power. Okay, but the lamb, we cannot forget the lamb. One for thee, one for Moshe, one for Eliyah. And these are important people. So in Sukkot, naturally, you would have different tabernacles. But then happens something amazing. Like we said earlier, the voice is not coming now from high up heaven. A cloud is coming. A very special cloud. Hey, this reminds us from other tabernacles. We are reminded about other tabernacles. The 40 years in the wilderness. That 40 years, the whole thing was tabernacles. Tabernacles is Sukkot. It's instituted that we remember this 40 years journey where we saw His glory every day. We saw the glory cloud, the pillar every day, the special presence of God every day. And we got tired and we had the same food, which was very healthy, but we got tired. And there was murmuring and there was familiarity and we forgot His glory. But we had the cloud. We had the cloud. So in a way, the Father is very calculative. He's very wise why He comes in a cloud. Hey, while He yet spoke, while Shimon Kepha is still speaking, behold, a white cloud overshadowed them. And look, the word overshadowed is the word in Aramaic, tal. It's not to be confused with du, tal. Same root as talal. And when Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. That's the word talal, same word. And when the Father, the bright cloud, overshadowed them, that's the word for the tabernacles. It overshadowed them like a tabernacle. I think that it very likely, just like the table is here, it formed like a shadow of a bright, glorious tabernacle. So the Father shows, I am tabernacling over you right now. The light of God is here, remembering the tabernacles, but now the Father is tabernacling. It says overshadowing, over tabernacling them. Yeshua was in a way tabernacle. Now the Father is a tabernacle. This is amazing. This is the glimpse into eternity future. This thought is bigger than I can understand, but I'm going to declare it to you. They had a glimpse of eternal life here. Because in New Jerusalem, it says, behold, a tabernacle of God is with them. And God lives in us like in a tabernacle. And we live in Him as a temple. This thought is big. This thought is powerful. I would love to talk about this hours. But they got a glimpse of perfection. Perfection. So the Father comes like a tabernacle over them. And a voice out of the cloud which says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. And in some way it's even like, you've been hearing Him. Now, don't be distracted. Even If I would dare to say this, don't be distracted even with the presence of Moshe and Eliyahu. That was a private conversation. I allowed you to be listening, but you didn't have the capacity. So you fell asleep. So don't allow anything to distract you from this. Hear ye him. You know what is our job on the earth? This is it. Hear him. Hear his voice. That's it. That's it. Hear him. Hear him. I hear him through the word. I hear his still small voice in my heart. I try to listen. I'm not perfect in listening, but I'm asking God to make me better all the time, to make me better. I need to be really trained in this. But that's why we listen to the Word of God. I listen to the Word of God in the internet. I read. And even when we are moving on the streets, we're tuned to His voice. But I like to use this example. David Wilkerson came to Jerusalem, I think it was 2024 or 2025. He came to Jerusalem to share his testimony. And he was a humble man. He called the leaders, spiritual leaders, together, and he had some meetings. And we also attended, Ramona and I, we attended those meetings. And he said, I came to tell you that you don't, what I have experienced, that you don't need to repeat my mistakes. I have made mistakes in my life. And he shared about his mistakes. I personally thought that they were not very big mistakes. Other people have maybe made bigger ones, but it was very helpful what he was telling us. And one of the mistakes he said was he failed to hear other people, and he dismissed their complaints too quickly. That was one of the things. But then he said, this really touched me. By the way, then he approached them very humbly, these people. He approached them very humbly, and it was so humble. It was just like the Lamb of God. He was saying, don't be too big in your own eyes. Be small. Be servant. Be a servant. That's where you find Yeshua. Don't try to be big. The whole world tries to be big. Don't go that road. You have a different road. And the Lord taught him that. But then he said, he was already in his 70s. He was saying, well, that's not so old yet. But he was saying to God, what do you want for the last stretch of my life? Whatever you want me to go to some country and start a new ministry? Maybe you want me to go to Africa, wherever. I'll go, whatever you want. Whatever you want. And you know, what was the answer? He said he got the answer very clearly. God spoke to him clearly. And God spoke to him this word. I need somebody on the earth to listen to me, to hear my voice. And he said, I want to be the person that listens, that hears, that listens to your voice. I want to be that person. And listening in Hebrew involves that when you really hear, you just don't hear the outward voice, you hear the tone, you hear the burden behind the word, and then you take action. That all is involved in Hebraic understanding of the word Shema, to hear and to follow up with action. Yes. So, I want to be that person that hears. I want to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I want to hear. And then I want to close with this thought. I also want to hear those statements. The seven statements that the Messiah said from the cross. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I want to hear when he says, behold your son, behold your mother. I want to hear all the seven statements, but especially I want to hear the statement, Meshalem, Meshalem. It is finished. The last sacrifice has been sacrificed. The last priest declared at the end of the day, when there's no more sacrifices, Meshalem, it is completed. It's finished. Everything is completed. And I emphasize it in Aramaic because the priest used Aramaic and they declare it that way. So he on purpose used that term, no more sacrifices. Based on that, he also said later, which the disciples heard him, take this message to the whole world. But he also said, let's hear this also, he said. And if I go away, that was his exodus, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That means that we'll never need to see him apart from that glory. So by faith now, we carry him as the Lamb in our hearts. We carry the lamb-like walk, the sacrifice-like walk. We don't raise up our ego. We cannot afford to raise up our ego. We live that way that we can hear him. If my ego is talking too loud, I can't hear him. I can't. It's a different channel. The channel of the flesh. If the volume is up and the rock concert is cranked up, I can't hear the channel of the Spirit. But if I hear him, it's the most wonderful thing. And guess what? If I hear him, if you hear him, we are tabernacling in the Father's tabernacle all the time, even though we don't see it. We're tabernacling. This is wonderful. And he says, I'm coming again to take you to myself. And to Israel, he says, I'm coming to you and I'm revealing myself to you. The last verse in Psalm 50. To him that makes order in his life, who orders his conversation, it means that he's seeking for this righteousness. I will appear to him in the Yesha of Elohim. I will appear into him in my salvation. Salvation coming to Israel, glory coming to his people. But he said, tell my brethren and tell those that don't know. So Father, help us to be listening to your voice, to listening to the voice of the Messiah. In the name of Yeshua, amen.